plate a potential nugget.
And the third piece I was curious about is possibly specific to an Indian context, where in general we all grow up in an environment where there's a certain scarcity of resources at every level.
For sure.
And that leads to a certain competitive streak that's built into the people that come through the system, and that gets hard-coded. And when you sort of juxtapose that with leaders having to transition from being a warrior to a diplomat that you talk about when they move from functional leadership to general management, I find there's some sort of an interesting glass ceiling that a lot of these people hit when they get there. So talk to us a little bit about how leaders should make that mind shift. At this level, it's not even a skill shift, right? It's about how do you rewire your mindset. So what's been your experience with leaders that do this effectively, Michael?
So I think, first of all, it's a great observation about culture, right? I was sort of smiling as you said that, because we did some work recently for an Indian organization. And, you know, part of it was, it wasn't transition work, it was development work. But, you know, normally we use sort of little case studies to motivate some of what we do. And this organization wanted to set up sort of team versus team competition to see who would do best on the case study analysis, right? And I'd never seen an organization ask for that before. So it gives me a bit of insight into what you're saying, Deepak, about the culture and competitiveness. But the essence of this mindset is to say, look, that, you know, at some point, as you get to senior levels, your ability to move forward depends very strongly on your ability to forge alliances internally and externally. And so if you're locked in a zero-sum competitive mindset, you're going to struggle to do that. And you've got to kind of adjust to a mindset of abundance, a mindset of possibility, a mindset of alignment, a mindset of reciprocity, and also a recognition that, you know, at the top, organizations depend on strong relationships and alliances to move themselves forward. And certainly as you look into the external environment, the ability to shape the external environment, complex political, social, and other challenges, really rests on your ability to navigate, you know, diplomatically through those thickets. I'll give you a specific example. I'm working with a leader who took on basically the responsibility for a global public health portfolio in a large pharmaceutical company, including multi-drug resistant tuberculosis. You know, and this person had previously been, you know, running commercial, responsibilities for, you know, significant drugs. And that's a very competitive, you know, thing to be doing. And all of a sudden, he was thrust in this environment where there were all these NGOs and governmental agencies, and quasi-governmental agencies. And there was a real kind of shock initially of, oh, my goodness, how am I going to do this, right? And I mean, the good news with that situation was I do come out of a negotiation and diplomacy background. And that's part of why the chapter on building alliances is in the first 90 days. But it is a mindset shift to begin to think diplomatically, right? To become a corporate diplomat. And I think as you get to the top of organizations, probably as true in India, or maybe as true in India as anywhere, you've got to be able to make that shift.
And in the book, you also talk about the distinction between alliances and relationships.
Yep.
Could you talk to the listeners about what's the nuance here and what people often get wrong here?
Sure. So I could have a wonderful relationship with you, but you may not be willing to support me in doing some very important things that I want to do. And I may have a terrible relationship with you, but there may be narrow things on which we can agree and pursue jointly, right? And so don't assume that a relationship translates into a supportive alliance, and don't assume that the lack of a relationship or even a negative relationship precludes the opportunity to build support to accomplish important things. I mean, that's the essence of it, Deepak. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely. And I found the distinction interesting because people often take comfort or invest in relationships, but sometimes they don't have that orientation towards building an alliance from a change perspective, right? In terms of where you're trying to take the organization.
Absolutely, right. And then they're shocked to discover that those relationships as good as they may be, don't translate into the kind of support that they thought they would get.
Given my limited worldview, if I had to look at the CXOs around me who are at the cusp of making it to a CEO role, and look at the graveyard, that is people that hit a glass ceiling and don't make it, this factor would be one of the key contributors to the reason why people struggle to make this transition. I guess the reasons are partly Darwinian. The competitive streak is what got the people an opportunity to play the game at the highest level. And they motor along and suddenly we ask them to collaborate rather than compete. While a lot of them get it cognitively, they struggle to change the way they behave, the way they share information, give feedback, build relationships, and so on, to move from the competitive mindset to a collaborative mindset. And by the time people turn 35 or 40 or 45, the wiring is often so ingrained that it's often hard to rewire the person to behave any differently. You might as well ensure that you solve it by hiring carefully or promoting thoughtfully than getting somebody in with a different wiring and working on them. To provide a metaphor here, I feel this is a bit like rocket launch. Given the viscosity in the air and the gravitational pulls, you need a certain escape velocity when you lift off. But as a rocket climbs higher and higher, the resistance and the gravitational pull becomes weaker, and it's critical to slow down the rocket for it to settle into orbit. I feel a lot of us grew up in a world of scarce resources, where it required a certain competitive streak for us to break free from the gravitational forces. But once you hit a certain level, that competitive streak can cause significant damage if not kept in check. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more content. You could visit the curated playlist section for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant for you. You might be specifically interested in the playlist Settling into a New Context. This has perspectives from people from various domains, including what Dr. Ramachandra Guha says about how Gandhiji settled into India and started driving the independence movement when he moved here from South Africa. To access this, please go to the curated playlist page and click on Transitions. Within that, you will find the playlist Settling into a New Context. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.